Hello, this is your Polycast for Wednesday, January 30th. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. The Florida primary is over. If you haven't heard, John McCain edged out Mitt Romney on the Republican side, and Rudy Giuliani may drop out today. Hillary Clinton won on the Democratic side, but no delegates were at stake, although if the contest goes all the way to the convention in Denver, it will be interesting to see what happens to those delegates, those missing delegates from Florida and Michigan. Meanwhile, John Edwards told a crowd of Minnesota supporters last night that he'll continue to work for the poor and middle class if they go out and caucus for him next Tuesday. Edwards brought his populist message to a St. Paul Union Hall, hoping to convince enough Democrats in Minnesota to choose him over the other candidates in the race. Minnesota Public Radio's Tom Scheck reports.
A full-throated, standing-room-only crowd of 1,200 people packed into the Carpenters Union Hall on a frigid night. Many were glassy-eyed and shivering when they walked into the room, perspired and energized when they left.
Man, I love coming to Minnesota, even when it's freezing cold.
Edwards' 20-minute speech focused on the same theme he's taken across the country, that there are two Americas, one for the wealthy and one for the others. He invoked the late Senator Paul Wellstone and said he too would stand up for the less fortunate if elected. Edwards reminded the audience that he was the son of a mill worker who worked so his children could have a better life. Edwards said it was shocking that a healthcare executive can make hundreds of millions and an oil company can rake in massive profits while some go without food, without health coverage, and without work.
America desperately needs a president who will stand up to these moneyed, entrenched interests in Washington that are literally stealing your democracy from you. You deserve your democracy back.
The audience was a mix of young and old. There were also plenty of members from unions representing steelworkers, carpenters, and service employees. They cheered when Edwards said he would rescind the Bush tax cuts to provide universal health care for every American. They screamed when he criticized trade agreements that he said shifted American jobs to foreign countries, and they roared when he raised his concerns about the war in Iraq.
The first year that I am president of the United States, we are going to end this mess of a war in Iraq. And that means all combat troops out of Iraq, combat missions ended, no permanent military bases in Iraq.
Edwards has yet to win a primary or caucus this year, yet he told the audience to ignore the suggestions that his campaign was losing ground to Illinois Senator Barack Obama and New York Senator Hillary Clinton. Jim Lendway and Janet Stottlemyre of St. Paul said they were going to caucus for Edwards because he has the best ideas to help the middle class.
He also seems to be much more of a populist, and I'm a populist. I'm interested in the little people.
And he's going to fight to get the jobs back for the middle class and return us to the democracy that we used to have.
Lendway and Stottlemyre say they were Edwards supporters 4 years ago. In fact, they attended a similar rally at the Carpenters Hall 4 years ago during Edwards' first attempt at the Democratic presidential nomination. Edwards is hoping for a better result than 2004 Super Tuesday. He dropped out of the race before Minnesota's presidential preference ballot was finished. He later became John Kerry's running mate and campaigned heavily in Minnesota. In all, he visited the state 11 times as a candidate for president and vice president in 2004. Edwards won't be the only presidential hopeful to visit the state before Super Tuesday. Obama's campaign says the Illinois senator will make a campaign stop in the Twin Cities on Saturday. Details of that visit have not been released. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
A letter detailing allegations about former Minnesota U.S. Attorney Rachel Paulos has been made public. Minnesota Public Radio's Tony Randolph reports.
The letter was sent from the Department of Justice Office of Special Counsel to Attorney General Michael Mukasey. The letter from last November outlines complaints by an assistant U.S. attorney that Paulos delayed implementing a program aimed at protecting children from online predators in order to plan a celebration of her confirmation as U.S. attorney for Minnesota. The assistant U.S. attorney resigned from his management post under Paulos, and she stepped down last fall to take a job with the Justice Department in Washington. Officials in the office declined to comment. Last week, in another letter, the head of the Office of Special Counsel complained that the Justice Department impeded the investigation into Paulus's conduct and the firings of 8 U.S. attorneys. Tony Randolph, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
A new state report says kids are a lot safer on Minnesota school buses than they are in cars, but a new legislative auditor's report raises some other concerns about student transportation, especially in vans and smaller vehicles. Minnesota Public Radio's Tim Nelson reports.
The kids climbing off the buses in front of Capitol Hill Elementary in St. Paul are about 8 times more likely to get to school safely than if they'd been driven to school by their parents. In fact, a new legislative auditor's report says buses are
among the safest type of transportation possible. And yes, the crashes have declined significantly, about 30% in the last 10 years or so.
That's Judy Randall, who prepared the audit and presented it to a handful of legislators at the Capitol.
About 30% of the factors that contribute to school bus accidents are related to school bus drivers. So even though there are fewer accidents, I think there's still improvements that can be made.
Her report found that drivers of van-like buses and regular passenger vehicles that transport students get much less scrutiny than drivers of regular buses. People who drive fewer than 10 students may only need a valid driver's license to get behind the wheel. They don't have to pass background checks, get license endorsements, or submit to drug screening. The issue came to public attention last May when a van driver for a private student transportation company rear-ended a Forest Lake school bus. He and his 14-year-old student passenger died. Tests later showed the van driver had been smoking marijuana before the crash. Republican State Senator David Hahn of Eden Prairie said it was a tragic example. He said that districts need to be more accountable for student safety.
If you have your own in-house system, and I came off of Eden Prairie, we have our own in-house system there. They do a very good job of monitoring licensing and doing the testing, and they've taken this very seriously. And I think a lot of districts do that. But there might be some who just say, well, I look at this as kind of a problem, and I just want it off my desk, and so we've contracted and we just turn it over to them. Well, to me, that doesn't relieve the district from the obligation of making sure that their contractor is doing what they need to do.
Hahn said he will propose new regulations that require van and activity bus drivers to undergo tests and training similar to drivers of larger buses. The auditor's report also said that the State Department of Public Safety needs to improve how it checks on buses. The State Patrol has only 11 inspectors assigned to watch over the state's entire school bus fleet. But State Patrol Captain Ken Urquhart said they're doing all they can.
We're truly committed to school bus safety and to complete 14,000 inspections year in, year out, and we have to schedule those. So yeah, our resources are basically at our limitation right now.
The Public Safety Department is also expected to check on nearly 20,000 drivers, but the audit found only 600 inspections in the last 2 years included bus drivers. More than 700,000 kids in Minnesota ride buses to school. Districts spend more than $440 million on student transportation. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.